Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, I'm Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
We got a big show today, boys. As Miles would say, almost too much show. All right, down there in the bottom square, chilling out all city. He's got a new setup, looking good. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
It's tough, boys, to fit this whole show inside the small squares on Zoom. I'm with Ted. It's going to be a big one. Let's get it.
Up there on the left-hand side. By the way, folks, you're wondering, I'm just describing how I'm looking at them on my screen here. Matt, comma, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, just ripped the sleeves off this shirt just for you two.
Nice. Nice. I like you wearing your Firebirds gear. I'm also happy we got two of your coaches.
Oh, man. Yeah, good for you. That's what we do. We're a farm system.
One coach has won a Stanley Cup and is just a good coach. The other coach made history as the first female coach in an NHL game. Assistant coach.
Jessica Campbell. She's a badass.
Yeah.
Wait, he won a Stanley Cup and he was coaching the Firebirds?
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. And a lot of people kind of always thought that, like, when they hired him for the Birds, like, that's just your new head coach and trainer, like, in waiting. And then, what was he there for, 2 years or 3 years or just two? Right, and they went to two finals in the 2 years he was there. So it's like, yeah, bring that dude up.
Yep. Give him the call up. That's awesome.
Well deserved.
All right. So this is hot off the press. My buddies just sent me this video from my tailgate crew where apparently SC has a program now where you can pay $1,800, you stand in the tunnel, and then you run out with the team at the end of the line.
Yeah.
Oh, right. My God.
Yeah, Carson, easy big fella. but it's also funny as they were playing Penn State, and it's Penn State dude. He's just like in a tank top. Like, let's go.
Wait, who is that money going to?
NIL deals?
NIL deal. Oh, it goes into like the team NIL fund that they can then pay to players?
I mean, I assume. I mean, it goes to the university, but I would think for your football program, if you're letting people pay to run out with the team, like, that's got to be some NIL money.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild.
I can't believe it's only $1,800. That feels like kind of a bargain.
That's what my buddy Will said. And look, we're not shitting on the fact that $1,800 is a ton of money. But yeah, even Will was like, that just seems like that should cost more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those boosters shell out six figures a season in some cases, I've heard.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you're not lying. And then you know, like if you watch the Oregon game, I saw, I forget their two names, Will Compton and what's his name from Bustin' with the Boys. Like, they're out there on the sideline with the team, but they have a super popular podcast.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, yeah, they don't have to pay, but I was just like, huh, you could pay to run out on the field.
That's pretty cool. I mean, all right, in that light, like, Ted, you're a big college football fan. What perk would you pay $1,800 for?
I mean, if I could run out of the tunnel down at LSU through the famous goalpost, that'd be pretty cool. Or Tennessee running through the T.
Or like the Death Valley, like touching the stone and running down.
I'd be shocked if they let you touch Howard's Rock.
That'd be crazy. I'm trying to think like what other perks there could be, like icing someone's knee or like or cold plunging with the team, like the ice bath.
The locker room stuff is only weird because like years ago Luke Wilson, the Seahawks were playing on Monday night. I've told this story, but they're doing a walkthrough on Sunday. So he's like, dude, like, I'll get you tickets to the walkthrough, come out to the VMAC and whatever. And he's like, just like, they kind of have some rules or whatever, but he's like, just wait on the sidelines, like when practice is over. So it's me, my buddy Baird, and Migsy. So like we go, like you watch practice. It's awesome. Like seeing an NFL walkthrough is just it's just like mind blowing. Like, Jesus, these are real athletes. Pete Carroll's just the man. Right. And they're kind of dicking off afterwards or whatever. And we're standing there and it's getting a little odd, right? You can almost see like there's only like 10 people left in this practice facility. Like, should we wait for him? And then Luke comes jogging out and he's like, just follow me, it's fine. But we went into the locker room. First thing you notice is Richard Sherman just has a hog. It is what it is, folks. But it felt odd being in the locker room, just like, this is their place, right? And then, but like Luke, you know, he's a player, so he's not giving it two thoughts, right? It's just like when people come up to the radio station and I'm like, here's this station, here's that station. So then we're just walking around and we go into the room because he's like, you got to see the size of the cold plunge tubs and the jacuzzis and everything. And Jimmy Graham's in there and he just turns around and he's like, oh, are these your buddies? And he's out of the water enough that, like, I'm not sure if he was wearing pants shorts, but it's like just his, and he's just massive and ripped. And he's just like, how you boys doing? And I mean, like, I don't know how to explain it. I just kind of looked down at my feet and started shuffling. I'm like, I'm not a man. Like, that's a man. That's what a man looks like.
Ted, you go into an NFL locker room. Why are you looking at everybody's hog?
You couldn't miss Richard Sherman.
Yeah, that tracks with like the level of trash talk he brings and stuff. Like, he's got to be packing.
And also, you know, man, like you, I always forget. I have enough friends that just played college sports where like nudity is just not an issue, right? Like, I've been in hot tubs, whatever, naked with other dudes. Like, I don't really care. But like, yeah, they're in their locker room. Sherm's just walking around and just, you're just like, Jesus Christ.
Dad, that was a very cash drop that you've been in hot tubs naked with dudes. Very cash for this podcast. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but that was so such a casual throwaway line.
Yeah, well, I won't say which sport, but if I have a few friends that played again college sports and like, just like, what do you care? And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, we've never seen yours. Like, come on, don't be a little bitch. And I was like, all right. I mean, we've been naked together in showers, hand squeegeeing.
Have we? Shit, I don't even know. But yeah, that's the way of life.
Like at Meltdown, I mean, I'm pretty sure we walked all the way across that camp just with towels on.
Dude, that's funny, man. That's, yeah, an NFL locker room. I mean, you're right. Those guys are just, I mean, they're in peak physical condition. It's like they are like just living, breathing like masses of muscles and veins. It's insane.
Yeah. So to go back, like, I don't know that I want to be in the locker room unless it's like, it's a big win. Everybody's had their fun. And then they're like, we're smoking cigars in the locker room. But like, cool. But running out with the team would be pretty fun. Trying to think. I don't know, man. Maybe even just like, you know how they do like the walk early in the day when everybody's like in suits or track suits? Like, that'd be kind of awesome too.
Dude, at Notre Dame, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, when we went to LSU, you got to keep in mind, this is hours before kickoff. And I mean, I want to say there was 30 or 40,000 people just to watch the band come by and the team walk by.
Jesus.
Yeah. And like at Old Miss, I think they walk straight through the Grove.
Dude, that's pretty cool, man. That's, I know, now I'm thinking about all the different things you could do, like be like one of the handlers for Bevo, or like, you know, take Uga into the stadium. Like, there's a lot of, there's a lot of perks. Like, if this NIL thing gets out of control, it's like, yeah, be in like the scorekeeper's box or like hang in the owner's suite. Like, you could throw some crazy perks on there.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know if I want to be a handler or a Bevo. I mean, that is a Texas Longhorn. That's a real bull, right? Or is he a steer?
I don't know the difference, but it is a massive Longhorn bull. And the handlers are children. The handlers are literally college kids. Four college kids dressed like cowboys. In a stadium, in a 100,000 person stadium with a cannon going off. Like, it is an insurance nightmare, gentlemen. Now,
the only, if a bull's castrated, it's a steer.
Oh,
I learned that today.
I can tell you he's probably in a frat. I know that. but dude, I mean, you think about like Think seriously about like that conversation on the record in front of attorneys with insurance. They're like, all right, so you had a Longhorn bull. Yeah. In a stadium. Yeah. Like, and the cannon went off and scared him. Like, yeah. And there was 100,000 people there. Uh-huh. And this bull wasn't tranquilized, whatever. Like, no. Like, so what was the safety precaution? Like, oh, we had 4 college dudes on it. Like, against a 2,000-pound bull, you had 4 scrimpy college kids in cowboy outfits? Like, are you kidding me? And just somebody, you know, that person gets killed every time.
Have you ever seen in Colorado? I think they still do it. They have like a real bison buffalo.
Yes.
And the same thing. It's like 4 college students and they run them across the field. But there's videos before of like him getting loose. And there's just like 2 of them getting dragged.
Yeah. What are you going to do, dude? You're at freaking 100. I mean, college kids also, like, they don't have that man strength. Not that it would help against a bison. But like, all right, I'll say this. Like, it's America summed up in a nutshell. Because like, on the one hand, I do love the extreme nature of America. Like the F-22 flyovers, bringing a freaking bison into a stadium. But it's also like the extreme dumb of America. You're like, how did a woman get gored by a long? How did a cheerleader get gored? It's like, oh, we had 4 college kids watching a massive bull and the cannon scared him. Like, that is crazy. That's ludicrous. Every time I see Bevo in there, I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I've talked about it before, but again, at LSU, it's like Mike the Tiger. I don't know if they have one now, but for years, and he was always named Mike, they had a real Bengal tiger. And he had like some ridiculous $20 million, you know, enclosure or whatever, but the visiting team, let's say it's a night game. I think there's 104, maybe 106,000 people. They're all screaming, tiger bait, tiger bait. And then as you come out, there's an old school circus like train car. And there's just a tiger in there pacing back and forth with cheerleaders on top being like, you suck.
Cheerleaders on top?
There used to be cheerleaders on top.
Oh, and God.
If he was fired up, he would just be pacing around.
This is what I mean, dude. Like, how hard is it for him to, like, jump up and, like, reach an arm through the bars and, you know, gash a cheerleader's leg or whatever? Like, look, I love college football, and this is partially why, but that is insane. That is insane behavior.
It is, but I'm with you. It makes no sense. And it's so awesome. Like, and I think back in the day when these universities start, it's like, well, screw it. We're in the middle of Colorado. Of course, we're going to have a real bison, you know, or like Texas is like, we're Texas. Why wouldn't we have a longhorn? But
yeah.
And I think all 3 of us are pro animal, but like, I don't know, man, let the colleges have real ones. Remember Dan Campbell, the coach for the Lions. He was like, I want to get a lion. And then finally the NFL was like, you can't get a lion, man. He's like, the college stadiums. And he's like, and I think Goodell is just like, I'm paraphrasing, like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah. He's like, that is an insurance nightmare. And the thing is, you know, with these NIL deals, like, would I pay $1,800 to shoot the cannon? I might, but it's still crazy.
Yeah. Or like, right. Like, look, my brother and all my friends, they're first of all, giant mistake by Maryland. Let's go ahead and schedule SC for homecoming.
Oh, I know. Wow. Somebody would be fired. That's insane.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I know, Matt, you know, Carson will be watching. That stadium will be just covered in SC fans. But either way, they're all going. And I was talking to my brother. He's like, I go, first of all, you're going to get annoyed with that song and them doing that thing the whole game because they do it all game. And then he's like, well, I hope they bring like the Trojan and the Song Girls and the band. He's like, it's Maryland, so I don't know if they will. And I was like, yeah, that is part of college football. Like, you live in Maryland. Like, you've never seen SC play in person. Like, you want the full experience, right? You want that guy riding around on that white horse, and those Song Girls are beautiful in those letter sweaters.
They are. Didn't know that's the way we were going, but you were not wrong. Would you pay $1,800 for that? I'm just kidding. Let's move on.
Right. Well, Carson will appreciate too. I've called them. They're the Song Girls. They're not cheerleaders.
Oh, okay. Well, my answer is yes. You can call them whatever you want, Ted.
I mean, part of me would like to run out there with like the giant flag for a university, but I also feel like those flags, like those dudes are pretty yoked and in shape. I feel like that yeah. sprint might be a little longer than it looks on TV.
Those flags are massive too. Like the drag, like they're putting their whole body into it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Just like, hang on. Woo. All right, give me a second. All right.
Dude, there are so many crazy college traditions. Like it would be interesting if the NIL kind of opens up, you know, the doors to like crazy college experiences.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, the NFL is the NFL. Love watching it, but college, just because of that stuff with the bands, those weird little traditions and all that stuff, and the stadiums are bigger. Like that's, I still say that's what separates it to me and makes it more fun. I also get the argument that people go, I want to watch pros because I want to watch the best of the best. Like, fair. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, the Seahawks aren't going to walk in from the, you know, from Sluggers. There's going to be 80,000 people out there watching them with the band, like, with Blue Thunder. Like, let's go.
Oh, yeah. The other great thing about college, man, that I prefer college football, and here's why. It's like the spirit, the heart, you know? Like, nobody there is guaranteed to play another season in college, let alone in the NFL. So like they are just going ham every down to try to make it happen. And for some of them, like this is the peak of the dream. And then the other thing that I've started to take great joy in is like when you're in a bar watching and somebody misses a field goal, like grown men are losing their minds. Like, how could he blow that? How could he miss that? And I'm like, mate, that is a 19-year-old who was playing high school ball last year in front of 100,000 people in the Shoe. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. How could he miss that? Like, he just got broken up with. He's worried about like midterms. Like, he's got a whole slew of problems that aren't even perceptible to you, my guy. Like, he's dealing with acne issues and you're like crying about him missing a kick. You know, like he's trying. But like, I love the X factor. Like how somebody can either like show up big and, you know, run one back for a touchdown who's never even supposed to touch the ball, or somebody can miss, you know, a throwaway kick to lose the game in front of 100,000 people. Like, it's just wild. The swings, the human story, Ted. So good.
Yeah. And wild stuff happens in college football. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you're right. Sometimes you can be the number one team in the nation and you got some school you're supposed to pummel by 30 points and they show up and all of a sudden it's like, we're in a goddamn ball game right now. Like, what is going on?
Look at Vandy in Alabama. That was insane. Yeah,
exactly right. I think by the time Alabama woke up and realized what was happening in that game, it was too late. It's like, oh man, we're down 20 in the fourth quarter or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, credit to Vandy. Like, they came out thinking they could win. You could see it in the first quarter. And Alabama, of course, is like, whatever, we're Bama. Like, we're gonna, you know, roll these guys. And yeah, anything can happen, man. It's just a bunch of college kids.
Yeah. Still thinking about what I'd pay for. If a school like shoots a cannon, I'd like to be the guy that like, all right, Ted, you paid it. Fire the cannon. Like, let's go. Thing.
That would be cool. And just imagine the tension and excitement, like waiting for that touchdown, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly. Like, is he in? He's in. Boom. I mean, that'd be incredible.
Reload. Like, no, it's only for touchdowns.
Relax. Yeah.
Was that us talking about Oklahoma and how they got their nickname?
The Boomer Sooners?
The Sooners.
No, I don't know. But they did just play UT and lost. So I'm here for it.
Bad. Yeah. Well, so I must have been telling somebody and they were like, that's just a stupid nickname. I go, why they adopted it, I don't know. But I'm like, there used to be land grabs in Texas and stuff in that area before it was like Texas. And those people cheated the system and would go out there early. That's why they're literally the Sooners. So no. I'm like, I don't know why you'd pick that name, but all right, go for it, Oklahoma.
It's like the Outlaws, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have like a buddy of mine that was down there for some company working. He was in Dallas and he was just, you know, I think we were talking about him last week. He's like, I'm gonna be down here for a couple of weeks. I did not realize he was working at the state. So I was like, dude, go to the state fair. Like, it's so much fun, like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh yeah, man, I'm representing some company. That's all I've been doing for 2 weeks. And I was like, nice.
Whoa, that state fair is supposed to be the stuff of legend. Ted, you've been, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had deep fried Thanksgiving.
Jesus. Is it worth the drive up from Austin? We were talking about it the other day.
I mean, I would think so. Because remember, you guys met us up afterwards.
Yep.
So like I would go to that state fair one day if you had a day. Just the crazy food, like the biggest hot tub I've ever seen in my life was at that state fair. And they have like lounges and stuff too. Like, I mean, when you're there, I mean, I was there on the day of the Red River shootout, so obviously it was a lot more crowded, but yeah, I would go spend hours there, man. There was a ton of stuff.
Nice. It's like definitely a bigger, better version than like, let's say the Puyallup or the Washington State Fair.
That was, yeah. And the Washington State Fair does a good job, but that Texas State Fair is the biggest state fair I've seen in my life.
I believe it. Everything's bigger.
Everything is bigger. That's what I'm saying.
Even like, the bowls that the kids are watching.
Yeah. I mean, Big Tex is out front.
Oh, yeah. That thing is cool. I love that. And I didn't realize the stadium for the game is like in the state fair.
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I just didn't realize, like, I saw like a flyover or a drone shot or something, and it was like the state fair is like surrounding the Cotton Bowl. It's crazy.
Yeah, the only knock I have against the Texas State Fair is just that it's Texas. So it was like that night, it kind of cooled off, but it was like, oh, it was hot. And when you're eating deep fried Thanksgiving balls, just like, but I mean, that's probably the craziest food. Me, my brother, my buddy Will, we had deep fried Thanksgiving, and we had a bacon queso cheeseburger that was on like waffles or something.
That's awesome. Boys, I don't know if you saw that, but I reached to turn my lamp down and I just hit that cactus with my hand. So I have like 10 pricks. I'm going to grab tweezers and pull them out while we cast.
Ooh. I didn't see that. But that's,
is that our first cast injury?
Play it through the injury.
I think that's our first mid-cast injury. Nice.
He's going into the tent.
You think they'll release him?
I hope so, man. We'll see what the specialist thinks.
Matt, where are you at on your seasoning game? Like, what are you putting on those steaks?
Keep it pretty simple. Salt, pepper, garlic, and onion powder.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm fired up. I've been, you know, I watch a lot of like home cooks on Instagram and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one that comes up all the time is Dano's seasoning.
Okay.
And like the whole thing is it just has so much less salt and like sodium than like other stuff. So I'm like, all right, I got to get on that train and start firing that stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of those guys have their own. There's a guy, Cuso, I always see.
Cuso's a good one. Like, don't get me wrong. A lot of the brands are good. It's just like I try to watch sodium intake for my blood pressure and like, some of them are really good, but there's just so much like it's all like salt.
Yeah.
And MSG.
Yeah. So I like Dano and he's just kind of a cool dude from like Tennessee or Kentucky. Yum, yum. Get you some.
Have you seen that guy who does like the crawfish boils?
Hey, dude.
Hey, dude. Yeah, that guy. Exactly. A couple of my friends down here love that guy, and they got his seasoning and did like a big crawfish boil, and all they were saying the whole time is like, hey, dude.
Hey, dude. Yeah, what are we doing today? And then he's always throwing the pans.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
Dude, I got way sucked into that world. Like, one guy I watch is just a fireman in North Carolina, and he's either cooking for the firehouse or for his family. Like, I like him. Cooker of Deliciousness, another guy I started following. And then one guy I watch, I'm not even sure he has his own seasoning, but he's just a funny ass, like, kind of, he just has the slang down and he's from New Orleans or whatever. So he just goes into like these places and like, hey, like, what do you need, man? He's like, you know me, let me get a full piece. Gonna need that hot sauce, this and that. And people are always dapping him up. I'm just like, who is this guy?
Dude, I love people like that. Just a big personality. They just got like, yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about Maryland crab cakes and Maryland blue crab. There's also a guy I found that lives on like, I think on the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And he just spent the summer taste testing different crabs and he gets them like shipped in, cooks them different ways. He does it with oysters and this and that. And
That's awesome, man. I love the internet. It remains undefeated.
I saw a dude. He had like 250 chicken wings, I think, on like this.
Oh,
this
and he rotates it?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just pull it and crank it down into the oil and then lift it up, and they all just got perfectly crisp in 2 minutes. That was insane. It's like in his backyard.
250 chicken wings?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, dude, he has this contraption that he deep fries everything in, and it's like up off the ground. Trying to describe it. Like, remember that table you had at your wedding that was kind of like where we had all the waters and beers and everything?
Yeah.
So imagine something like that size, but made out of, you know, iron or steel so you can fry in it. And then he's got this giant platform that he cranks down and like it all goes in. And then he's always
got to
like,
be satisfying to watch.
Oh, it's unreal. And shout out to our guy cooking with Daryl. He was he was like the first guy I found doing all this stuff. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. I could just watch those guys cook forever, man.
Yeah.
It does look so good. And after all that, like, I know how to cook like two different types of meals. That's it. Like, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to trade recipes with the mayor. In due time, that man's going to have to start cooking. I already told him, like, I'm getting you a crock pot for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Wow. Good point. Air fryer. You get crock pot. I'll go air fryer.
All right.
Yeah, got our boy set up over there.
Yeah. I love the idea within like a year and a half. It's just like college football Saturday, get to the mayor's house. Like, what are we doing? He's like, I'm making this. We'll be up on the roof watching football. Like, all right.
Wait, did he already host?
No. Oh, they just, but I've been on the roof having a glass of bubbly.
Nice. Wow. It's all happening.
It is. It's real now. What else? You know, we're having so much fun. I don't need to bring up the fact. Last weekend was just sad. Seahawks lost on Thursday. Don't sweat it. Maryland's on national TV Friday night. 10-point favorite at home. Shouldn't be a problem. That's a lie. They got their ass beat. Hey, you know what? Saturday morning, I'm at my buddy's house. We're going to get up extra early. Watch some of game day. Huskies playing at Iowa. You just beat Michigan. That's a win. That wasn't a win.
Nope.
Ted, have we had 1 year on this podcast where Maryland has been good?
You know what? No. I mean, they get eight or nine wins and win
like
a bowl
every
game.
Every season, you're just like, Maryland's looking good this year, boys. Like every September, or every August, like Maryland's looking good this year, boys. We're stacked. And like every October, like, I don't know. And then every November, you're like, no, our season's f***.
I say it to Mike Hawk every August. I go, Mike, I know I say this every year, but I'm telling you, the Terps might have something special this year. You never know.
You got excessive juice. That was my favorite season, was the excessive juice season. I did love that, I will say.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They come out in the beginning of the year and get a win they shouldn't or whatever, and you start getting pumped, and it's like look, even looking at that, like, you know, the schedule comes out. It's like, I don't expect us to beat Penn State the last game of the year. I don't see us going into Autzen and beating the Ducks in November. Like, there's a couple losses on there. Like, I don't see us beating SC. But it's like, Northwestern?
Yeah, Ball State, you've got.
Like, at home? Like, we were 10-point favorites.
That is wild. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Just, I guess what I would say is this, like, I grew up a Mariners fan, so I get it. Like the early season hype on the Mariners almost every year is like out of this world, even when they had like the best season ever, but they're just not a playoff team. Like, I'm sorry. I've been riding for 37 years. Like, you know, I don't see a lot of World Series. But you can hype me all you want, dude. Like, think about it. 95, 97, 2001. Like, I don't want to trigger people here, but like, it just, you know.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can hit me with, like, refuse to lose and, like, you know, Soto Mojo and stuff. And I'm just like, we just are not a playoff squad.
It's not in our DNA.
Exactly. And I don't think it's in Maryland's DNA ever. So you should stop torturing yourself, buddy. That's all I'm saying. It's like, I don't fear the turtle. I'm mildly afraid.
Right. I understand it bites, but like, it just let it loose.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, real quick, I will say, so we were down in Burien. So look at my buddy. I'm like, man, this sucks. Like, I know there's a beach around here. And he's like, yeah. I was like, so that was our play. I said, all right, Huskies lost. It was gorgeous this weekend up here, boys, by the way. Like, low 70s, sun was out. So we go down to the beach in Burien. I can't think of the name of the park, but it's like packed, right? We're going to go chill out down there. We finally got some coffees, had a little like can of cider with me. You know me. We get there. There's 50 people on this beach. Nobody is swimming. I got to get in. So, like, it's an epic looking picture. But then, like,
have later, photos from the Sound?
Oh, yeah. On Saturday. Oh.
Ooh. Wow. All right.
Thank you.
That's, dude, that ups you in my book so much more. Like, now your NFL story, you did belong in that locker room. I take back what I said, bro. The Sound is cold as hell. Good for you.
It was, I thought I sent that photo. It was freezing. But the funny part is later, I'm sitting there with my buddy, and now I'm getting kind of drunk. I go, can I tell you something? Or he's like, what's up? And I go, did that look cool? When I just, like, took my stuff off and walked in the water, and he's like, oh, yeah, man. Like, you look stoic. You looked awesome. And he's like, you were the only one out there. And I go, all right. Is it fucking hurt walking down to that beach? Because it was so rocky. And I was like, man, that water was cold.
Oh, yeah, dude. People don't realize, like, Puget Sound is frigid water. And, like, salt water gets so much colder, too. Like, that's brutal. Absolutely brutal water.
Yeah, that was out in the Sound.
I mean, yeah, I lived in Seattle for 30-plus years. I've probably been in the Sound 3 times in my life. Maybe less. Possibly less. Like, not much. That's a power move, Ted. I feel like, dude, I'm pumped to hear that. You're virile. You're strong. Might not have that NFL, like, hog, but you got balls, my guy. You got balls.
Dude, honestly, as I'm walking across those rocks, I'm like, I just remember the first time I went to Burning Man, and that first night, you're like, these shoes are going to hurt my feet, but I'm doing it for the look. And your feet were messed. And I was just like, don't flinch. You could take this pain. I could feel every eye on the beach behind me. And it's like, we're going to get in this water. We're going to swim around. We're going to look cool.
Exactly. You know, sometimes it's not about you. It's about the aesthetic.
Right. What do we say? Don't ruin it for him.
Yeah, exactly, man. It ain't about you. That's awesome, dude. That makes that picture so much more powerful. I just assumed you were in like a shallow, warm lake somewhere. Not the freaking Sound. Good for you.
Oh, and trust me, your boy felt alive after that. It's like, all right, that's some salt water in the soul. Good to go.
Dude, you honestly, you're kind of a cold plunge guy. Like, when we cold plunged at my house, I remember you came out of that white hot too. Like, we cold plunged. It was pretty early. We were going to a game or something. We did a shot, and, like, we were amped up, dude.
I think GD thought we were kidding when we were, like, we're cold. Like, we left that night. They were going to bed. We were like, we're going out. 8 a.m. cold plunge.
Yeah, 8 a.m. cold plunge, shot of tequila, and, like, we were getting it. Like, we came out firing on all cylinders. We were a buzzsaw that morning. I mean, by 8:15, we were drinking in a parking lot.
Yeah, trust me, it was the same. Like, when I got out of that water, like, it was cold, but they were like, how you feel? And I was like, f***ing amazing, dude.
Alive. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I kept saying that, like, I feel alive. I'm not so worried about every team I like losing now.
Dude, that's the thing. All right, in my building, like, you know, word got around that I put a cold plunge on my balcony. Obviously, you're not allowed to. And this wasn't, like, one of the fancy ones you buy for people listening. I just, like, built, like, a redneck cold plunge out of a freezer. But the thing is, like, I kind of known as cold plunge guy for a little bit. And what I was saying, people are like, oh, do you love it? Like, you love cold plunging? I'm like, no, cold plunging sucks, dick. But when you get out, you feel like a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, you feel incredible. And I'm like, yeah, I go for the getting out part.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, there's plenty of people that do it every morning, but it's like, nobody thoroughly and like, oh, this is so great. It's like, I mean, mentally you could get there, but like, it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. Like, but you come out just pumped up and like hero mode. And especially for whatever reason, like that day you and I did it, dude, it amplified. And I remember just being hyped up. It was like we were playing in that game.
We should have fired the cannon. I should have rode Bevo.
Oh, bro, you could have. You 100% could have that day, dude. You were on a heater.
All right, let's take a break there. We'll come back with what's Matt in the comp topic. All right, welcome back. Thanks to all our sponsors, and his name is still Puddles. All right. So, gentlemen, for years on our podcast, people would give us a hard time, but we kind of became experts, I'd say, on two foods. Do you remember?
Apples.
And donuts.
Huh?
Donuts.
Donuts, yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Right.
But Apple, Matt, you made the right call. That's what I was hoping you'd say. So somebody hit me to this. Pink Lady Apple Kombucha.
Ooh.
Whoa. That's baller.
Hello.
You have my attention.
I know. I was almost late firing up the Zoom. I was like, I'm going to try one Safeway and see if they have it. Well, somebody was telling me about it. I was like, all right, dude.
You about to live taste test this thing?
Let's do it. You guys like kombucha?
Yeah, I do. Honestly, the only thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kombucha is awesome. I kind of wish it didn't have caffeine in it, though, because I feel like it does feel like an evening drink. What do we think?
I mean, that's pretty good. I did not realize it had caffeine in it.
Yeah, I didn't think it did either.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Yerba mate also. Let me take a look.
Yerba mate I know does, because people drink that instead of coffee, but that's pretty damn good. Huh. I don't know if I taste that much apple.
Generally low. It's like 10 to 15 milligrams.
But it's in there. You can taste it.
Nice. Weirdly, I didn't realize what you were saying about the... I didn't realize that we had developed expertise in apples and donuts, but one of the businesses that we're talking about getting into is literally apple cider donuts.
Ooh!
Which would be hilarious. I didn't realize that that's like a multi-year theme.
I mean, that is... It's like basically everything coming together at once.
Yeah, man, life is weird like that.
That's awesome. Would they be mini ones?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why. I feel like the apple cider donut's always like a tinier version.
Yeah, they're not really big on the West Coast, but New England, you know, like New Hampshire, Vermont. Do you get them as far down as Maryland? Are they big down there? Maine, obviously, they're big.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you go to like a pumpkin patch or something, I feel like there's always apple cider donuts.
Yeah. I feel like Washington, they're very rare.
Yeah, but it is one kind of like, I mean, I like them. I eat them all year round. But that is one of those like niche kind of like August through like December. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go here. You got to get apple cider donuts.
That's true. It is sort of a seasonal guy.
Also, just you don't have to like just. Have you noticed a lot of hate online lately for the crumble cookie?
No.
Bro, you are talking to the right guy. Matt, go ahead.
I have not. Go ahead, Cobb.
Well, there's another company, Insomniac, and it's like people have just, I don't know, it's like they're abandoning crumble. And I'm like, I get it that they're, a lot of people are saying they're not cooked all the way through, but I thought that was part of what made the crumble cookie a crumble cookie. I think they're delicious.
I feel like I'm just full disclosure, we're a supplier for crumble cookies, and I've been following the drama, for lack of a better word, for years. And I think I'm just too close to it and know way too much, but it is wild, and there's a lot of hate out there. That's what I would say.
There is. Just because, again, I watch a lot of food reviewers too, and I'm just like, we're hating on crumble cookies. That just seems wrong to me. Like, I know they're expensive, but like I remember the first time I had one, somebody brought them into work. I was like, holy shit, this is a good cookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like
pretty them. Good.
Got one right down like, the street.
Yeah, I was like, I figured we were all pro crumble. But yeah, like it just turned into like a thing. And I'm like, we gotta ease up on the crumble. I haven't had Insomniac cookies. Maybe they're that good. But
Ted, do you remember when I took that random trip to Iowa? At the last minute, like probably two summers ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took a trip out there. I think I sent you some pictures. We were making 40,000 pounds of caramel corn in 2 days. Do you remember right. that?
Yeah.
I haven't shared it publicly, but that was actually for Crumble. And, you know, I got to say on our end, like they were great to deal with. Amazing customer, super chill. And yeah.
It almost seems like it's like a fad. Like a couple of them were just food reviewers like, I don't really like them, blah, blah, blah. I've also seen a lot that like Black Twitter is just against the crumble cookie. right?
Whoa.
But yeah, it's just wild. And I'm like, all right, well, just because like a couple people don't like it doesn't mean we all have to hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I like their cookies, but there's just there are so many different storylines and things happening within that company that I just really I'll talk to you guys off cast, but it's wild. I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say anything you don't have to. To me, it feels a lot like Nickelback. Like, right. And I was always on the side of the Nickelback argument, especially given where Matt and I worked, where I still work. But I would say to people that made those, like, wait a minute, you can't say you hate Nickelback. Like, you were programming the station. Like, we're the reason they got overplayed.
Like, yeah, that's a good point.
I never understood that either. It's like, sorry, like, there's some Nickelback makes some bangers. Do they make a lot of songs that sound the same? Sure. I got news for you. You like AC/DC? Okay. AC/DC records sound a lot like old AC/DC records you heard. But, like... Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only comparison I really came up with. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like Nickelback. Like, all of a sudden, just, like, flipped on a dime. I guess a nickel. And people are, like, hating on those cookies. Like, all right, well, you know what? If you get four and you don't like the first one, send them our way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Eat some of your extra cookies.
That almost sounds bad. We'll eat your extra cookies.
It does sound bad. The same way we were talking about those sweater women or whatever.
The song girls.
The song girl. Yeah, calling them sweater women sounds bad.
Right. Well, they do wear letter sweaters. Like a letterman's jacket.
I mean, I feel like if we say anything else, you know, Carson's going to have to get involved legally on our behalf.
Well, listen, there's phases of going to a college football game and seeing cheerleaders. There's one from about, we'll just ballpark it, you know, 8, 9 till about 18, where you're just like, these cheerleaders are the prettiest thing I've ever seen. Then you're like college age and you're like, all right, like, you know, like I knew a girl that was a Maryland cheerleader. You're like, she was good looking. And then you get like past 35 and it's like, Jesus, man, these college cheerleaders are the hottest thing I've ever seen again.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. That's awesome. And we're back.
So, yeah. Real quick, when I was in high school, they offered a yoga class for PE. Nice, and I signed up for it because I figured it would be a bunch of hot chicks doing yoga poses. And I was right. And one of them went on to become an Oregon cheerleader. And then I saw her on TV the next season. She was a senior when I was a junior. And I was like, watched her do yoga from behind I was trying to pay attention, but you just can't miss it. Like that was
for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of hours behind her.
Do you remember the one girl that was a cheerleader for Georgia that was just like yoked?
No.
Oh, no. Google it later or whatever. Just like, it was like a thing. And she was just like, I think she was a bodybuilder as well. And like big time, but she, like, you're just like, oh my God. Like, yeah, like she's attractive, but also like she could throw the dudes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I mean, some of them are really like incredible athletes. One of my friends who was at the wedding, you met her. She was a cheerleader at the University of Washington, and she also was an elite level gymnast. And elite's like an actual, it's the level before like Olympic competitors. And like, you know, I mean, she was like one step below world class gymnast. And like, it makes sense. I mean, they're really good athletes, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. I think we had a little bit of tequila.
Nice.
All right, no emails this week. Folks, what are we doing? You got to send us an email. Come on.
Give us something.
Give us something.
We've given you 10 years.
We've got a segment.
Plenty of yucks over 10 years.
All right, well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
All right, Friday night, let's see, it was the start of the weekend, and the Aurora Borealis was visible up near Seattle. Ted, did you see it?
I did not Friday night.
Okay.
That was my own mistake. I literally just didn't walk outside.
Yeah. So we saw its path was like way more north than here, but we figured might as well drive out to Joshua Tree, which is like an hour north of here and has some elevation and no light pollution. So we figured that was our best shot. Didn't exactly see the Aurora Borealis, but there were some clouds and a half moon. So it kind of, you know, had some reflective white on the clouds. And I was like, you know, sometimes the northern lights are more white than pink and purple. So it's basically like we're doing it. But technically, I don't think it counts. I did take one picture with my cell phone that gave it a hue that wasn't as there in person. So it kind of looks like it, which is tight with the Joshua Tree. But it was still a fun road trip to just, you know.
That's what I did in May up here. Like, you could kind of see it with the naked eye, but for some reason, we took a picture and was like, oh, now you can really see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's a funny thing of this day and age. I feel like some people be like, I got the shot for the gram, you know, like that's all that matters. And I'm like, I wanted to see it, man. Like, I don't care what the photo looks like.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I even posted the photos, but yeah, it was still a fun night, you know. Me and the lady just driving up there and listening to the new Brant Bjork Trio record, which I would strongly recommend people check out. It's so good. It reminds me of Devils Hunt Me Down, not sonically, but Brant Bjork got Mario Lolly to play bass, and that's when it became the Brant Bjork Trio. And when Devils Hunt Me Down got a new bass player, it just leveled up. And I feel the same way about this record, where like, damn, dude, sick bass lines, just like bringing that signature Brant Bjork sound up a level. So we love it. It's a great desert record. And yeah, just jammed that, went up there and got some milkshakes at Steak and Shake. Yeah, there's a Steak and Shake up there. And yeah, it was a fun night. Saturday, I had work in the morning, and then we headed over to Carson the Lawyer and his lovely lady's spot. It's you know, it's in the valley here. It's a little bit of a drive to us, but it's such a sweet layout. Like, you know, nice. It's so worth the drive every time. Even though I'm a total baby. Like, my whole life is a 2 mile radius around my condo, and they're like 20 miles away or something. I mean, it feels like I'm driving to Orange County, but yeah. You get there and they had pizza and wings, and we brought Tyler made a nice Greek dip with the homemade hummus base that was phenomenal, with some pita chips. And so we just got the spread going, we got all the different games on. I forget how, I think the main TV is 90 inches, and then there's two other ones on the sides of it. So, you know, you can, and sometimes he'll do the quad screen on one of them. And so there's like six games on at once. And
that's what we rocked on Saturday. It's my buddy has a like giant TV he got from work for free, but it's too big to hang where he puts his TV. So on Saturday, we just pulled out his two stools, set it up in like his front of his screen door. We had the quad box going on that one, and then just like one game going on the main screen. I mean, it was, I'm with you, it was awesome.
It's so awesome. Like,
you got a new grill. We broke it in.
Yeah. And like, you know, Red Zone's fun, but like the chaos of a college football Saturday, when you can watch multiple games at once. I mean, you know, you used to have to go to the bars for that, but now it's like, it's in my homie's living room. It's so fun to just lay on that couch and just watch it all unfold and get snacks and get drinks. And yeah, we had a great time. So, yeah, that was Saturday. We stayed over there until I'd say about halftime of the Colorado game.
All right, that was gonna be my question. Like, I went home after the Oregon game, yeah. And then watched the Colorado game at home.
Yeah, I think we watched the end of LSU played Ole Miss, right?
And it went to OT. That was a tough one for Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, and that's what I said. Tyler was like, you ready to go? And I was like, we'll go after that game. And then she like starts getting ready, and then she didn't realize it was going to OT. She's like, all right, I got all our stuff. I was like, it's overtime, babe. We got to see this through to the end. Ted's nephew goes to Ole Miss. We're rooting for Ole Miss here.
Like, he was there.
I was like, we have a real connection to this game. Because to her, it's all just like college football Saturdays. See the friends, eat the food, make the dip. And to me, I'm like, no. There are games that matter more to us. But yeah, it was super fun. And unfortunately, you know, like none of the games went the way we wanted them to, with, you know, no. UW in the morning, Oregon won, Colorado ended up losing and losing like half their best players. Like, yeah, so it's just kind of a, you know, none of the game, I didn't win any of my bets on Prize Picks. But they were getting a kick out of the way that I sports gamble. Like, who was Texas playing? Oklahoma? No, it was Oregon and OSU. I was like, I was going to bet on a different game. And then that one came on and I was like, okay, cool. I'll place a bet for the second half here just so we make it a little bit more exciting. And it looked good beforehand. I would do the bet again, even if I had the chance, but I liked my odds, but that didn't hit either. So, but still, like, every team we wanted to win lost, all my bets lost, and we still had a great Saturday. So that's how you know it's a good time with good people.
Yeah, that's solid.
And then Sunday, I'm trying to remember, there was no Hawks game on. Oh, that's right. My girlfriend went to a yoga class in the morning, and so I took the opportunity, since the Hawks weren't on, I put Red Zone on, but then I started doing chores around the house. And then she comes home right during the witching hour and is like, you've just been watching football all morning. And I'm like, what? Why don't you go take a shower after yoga? Maybe you'll notice the bathroom's clean. And, you know, look at these counters. Where'd all that trash go? You know, I've been working. Ended up banging that day. So I hope everybody like takes advantage of, we'll give you the heads up on the bye week, but you got to capitalize on the Sundays when the Seahawks don't play and put in some elbow grease to get the condo cleaned up, and it paid off.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, look, here's a piece of advice. The Hawks are in Atlanta Sunday morning. So, like, I don't know. Your girl wants to do a Sunday dinner. You have Sunday afternoon free.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta be strategic. I was like, we always give people the bye week heads up. We're good about that. But this was, last week was a, you know, Thursday night or primetime game. So we ended up having the free Sunday and, yeah, tried to make it count.
I did. Mike DeMatha did beat Gonzaga, which I liked. Gonzaga High School. People still wonder why I can hate another high school so much. I don't know if somebody killed it or there was roadkill, but they left a damn dead deer on our campus a couple days before the game.
Whoa.
And spray painted Bambi on it. And then, to their credit, while sick and terrible, they did put a get well soon balloon on it.
Oh my God,
man.
I know. But like
a dead deer.
So PETA was rooting for DeMatha too.
Yeah. Jeez. Exactly. I know. I saw that like Thursday morning. I was like, those MFers, like, God damn it, you better go down there and beat them this week.
Damn. Go Stags.
Go Stags. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Topic.
Topic.
All right, boys. I thought we had no emails this week. So instead of lashing out irrationally at our audience, I looked inside. I thought to myself, maybe I'm giving them bad questions. So I feel like this one's a layup. I feel like this one's fun.
All right.
But this is what I got for you, boys. So we recently moved apartments within the same building. But we have two bedrooms now. So my wife's side is looking all dialed in and like a real proper house. And if I turned this camera, which I'm not going to do right now, but the shot you guys see looks great, but the rest of this room is destitute. And I'm back to my old bachelor ways. I'm sleeping on the floor, and I have not a stick of furniture in this room except for my office chair. So my question, cop topic this week is, what screams I'm single? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. What screams I'm single? The first one that came to mind for me is somebody carrying the old bachelor's handbag. And if you're wondering what that is, it's an Australian term for when someone's carrying like a rotisserie chicken.
Man. Yeah, that's a good one. Like sometimes I'll just buy a rotisserie chicken and just like rip it apart with my hands and eat like half of it.
Are you single?
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's a good one. I'd say bathrooms. Not all guys are like this, but I know a lot of dudes, just you could just tell when like they finally get a girlfriend, like that bathroom's just cleaner. And there's a lot more product.
Yeah. A lot more product.
The amount of soap in the bathroom, Ted?
Yeah. The amount of soap. I would say maybe different
towels.
Different drinks too. Like my fridge doesn't have a lot of like, I don't know, juices and this and that. It's literally like sparkling waters and cans of beer and maybe a couple cans of like black coffee.
That's literally exactly my fridge, except the black coffee's in a bottle. Nice, dude. Hell yeah. Ride or die, man. Right. Old habits die hard. You may be married, but...
Right. And there's way too many condiments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. The thing that always comes to my mind is just like how jacked the dude is. Like, single dudes just have more gym time. They eat just for their physique, and you know it shows. I'm leaner now. My abs are good because we eat healthy here together. But like that level of swoleness that some dudes attain, I'm like, dude's on the hunt.
Yeah,
he's got the time. He can just, you know, base his entire life around it very easily. It's a very worthwhile, if you're single, that's what I would orient your life around. Like, it's very rewarding. It comes with a ton of different benefits, including event chicks do appreciate it. You'll get more compliments from dudes in the gym for sure, but like they notice when you're out and about that you work out. But yeah, just like having gigantic arms, chest, and shoulders and still having abs.
Yeah. Yeah. That you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Good use of the time and energy you have, but you know, once one of these ladies likes it, you're gonna shrink a little, bro.
I would say, and you could put that in there. I mean, health and fitness, but like it's just like hobbies as well. Right? Like the amount of like college football I can watch when I'm in a relationship just goes down. Yeah. Right? Like just me, like I could plan out my Saturday depending on what's going on to like see most of the big games or whatever. And same thing, like what are you, golf? Well, if you're single, you probably golf a lot more.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah, no, I mean that's why I've lost so much size is because this summer I was golfing instead of lifting the whole time.
Yeah, but fishing. It's like,
something's got to give. I got a girlfriend. I can't be playing 18 holes and then go lift for 2 hours.
Guys, all this stuff sounds rad. What do relationships have any upside?
Matt got laid on Sunday.
Tune in next week.
Right, when Matt and Cobb are both like, we gonna need to do an episode on the pluses.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
hey, listen,
we dug a pretty big hole, boys. We talked a lot of shit. Right? So she's moving out.
We're getting back to skateboarding.
All right, let's just end it there. That's too good. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a ton of advice for you. They're on early. Do something Sunday afternoon nice with your girlfriend or your wife. All right, folks.
Check out that hog.
Right. Show the hog. Right. RCTV for Cobb. Lee Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.